Hi everyone, and welcome to our presentation on an environment for interactive parallel programming with MPI and OpenMP. My name is Christian Terbofen, and I'm the HPC team lead at RWTH Aachen University in Germany. In a few minutes, you will see Jonas Hahnfeld, my co-presenter, who was also at Aachen University at the time we were doing the work behind this environment. Before I'm going to present more details on the environment that we have developed, I would like to present our motivation for doing this work. So at Aachen University, but also at many other occasions, I'm teaching parallel programming. But in general, more and more students and also fields of study are getting interested in parallel programming and data analysis. So the courses that we are offering at the universities, similar to workshops and tutorials, draw more attendees with each instance. So we have learned that learning success and the motivation of participants increase when they can learn and experience the effects of parallelisms themselves. And in many cases, we are lucky enough to be able to give access to many core systems, GPU systems, vector systems to our students or to our course attendees. However, we realized that we are asking some technical background when working with these systems. So we have seen that the technical barriers to access these systems is a challenge. Not for everyone, and I guess most people here are as used to Linux as we are, but for some. So what I'm trying to show on the left-hand side here is what we're asking them to do. So they have to access a Linux system via the command line. In almost all cases before that, they have to fire up a VPN. They have to either modify files on their desktop, be it a Mac or Windows, maybe even only a tablet or something like that. They have to modify files, copy them to the cluster, or edit the files on the cluster by using an editor like VI, for example. We ask them to use a batch system, so that means they have to build an executable and submit it to our cluster, get the result sooner or later back, or when they encounter an error, when they want to do a performance analysis and so on, they have to use many new tools in this particular environment. For example, they have to instrument their code, submit an interactive batch job, and so forth. So what I'm trying to say here is that before they can actually work on exercises, examples that deal with the parallel programming that I want to teach to them, they have to solve a lot of technical issues and problems and understand several concepts before they are ready to start. So what not all, but a significant fraction of these people actually is looking for is an environment like what I'm trying to show here on the right-hand side, which is a browser-based environment where you type in this case, Python code into the browser window, and you can see the result immediately, modify your code, come back, and so forth. So having said that, we set out to come up with an interactive C++-based environment to teach OpenMP and MPI code. So let me give you a few examples to actually describe what this is about. OpenMP is a de facto standard in high-performance computing for shared memory parallelization by means of threads and tasks. And MPI is the same de facto standard for distributed memory parallelization by means of message passing. So these were the two standards that we wanted to support. And many of you know Jupyter, which is the environment that I was showing two slides ago, where you have, let me call them, code boxes. Like here, you enter your code, execute it, and you get the result printed into the browser window. Jupyter is the framework, and then there are different kernels that actually take care of interpreting and executing the code. And we have been using Kling, which is an interactive C++ interpreter. So we did some work that Jonas will lay out in a few minutes to enable OpenMP. So that means you have to include a specific header to make the OpenMP API routines available and make sure that the OpenMP runtime has been loaded. So a little bit of kind of magic, but then you can type in interactive C++ OpenMP code into the browser and see the result immediately after the code has been executed. So what we're doing here, an OpenMP parallel region is a parallel execution. That means the OpenMP runtime creates a set of threads that is called a team of threads. In this case, I set an environment variable that's not visible here to ask for 4 threads. And then all these 4 threads execute the body of this parallel region. OMPGetNumThreads returns the number of threads within the parallel region, that is 4 in this case. And reduction means that this variable is being summed up by all the threads, but in a safe way. So that means in the parallel region, the threads work with a private instance. And after the parallel region, the runtime takes care of computing the final results. So if this is executed with 4 threads, the global sum is 16, which is what is being printed out here. And we have learned that this is really important as a tool in teaching, because it resolves all those technical issues and technical challenges that I explained earlier on. Because the students or whoever is listening to you can focus on the task of parallelizing and only when necessary later on learn the technical details. So don't get me wrong, this is not a replacement. Sooner or later, everyone has to learn about the technical details if he or she wants to make use of an HPC cluster. But for the sake of learning parallel programming, this might not have to be the first step. And we implemented the environment in a way so that almost all modern features of OpenMP are available. So here we are executing OpenMP tasks, 2 tasks. One is called task 1, one is called task 2. And with dependencies, they are forced to execute in a certain order. And then there's a task wait that makes sure that both tasks are being completed before hello after task wait is being implemented. So I don't want to go into OpenMP details here, but what I'm trying to say is that in such an interactive environment available in your browser, you can experiment with code changes. For example, when students have certain questions, you can rewrite the code to illustrate answers, and you can also make students interactively try out things and use it live, real time, whatever you might want to call it, in the teaching environment. And we didn't stop at OpenMP. We also thought about how to integrate MPI. MPI is different from OpenMP. OpenMP is implemented in a compiler. MPI is just a library, but we need a special mechanism to start the program. So again, in order to enable MPI, we need a header. Here's a function that's called exchange info, and MPI send and receive send messages from the calling process to another process. In this case, the other process is computed as an ID, which is just the other one, hence the name in the case of 2 MPI processes. Jupyter is limited in the native implementation or in the native facilities to start programs, so it would not provide a simple mechanism to start MPI programs in the way they are required to start. So what we're doing here is we write the code boxes, Jonas has more details later on, out into an executable that's called MPI.x. We have to link with the MPI environment, and then we execute it. Here we are executing a command on the Linux system that is serving the Jupyter notebook with 2 processes, and you can see the result here. So this was an achievement, but we didn't stop here, because if you know MPI, you might notice that the code I'm showing here has an issue. So in my group, we are together with other collaborators developing correctness checking tools. There's MUST, which is a tool that we own, and it supports the correctness checking of MPI programs, but there's also Thread Sanitizer or Archer, which are components around Clang that support correctness checking of multi-threaded or task parallel programs. So we also incorporated the facility to not only execute an MPI parallel program, but also execute an MPI parallel program. This is the MPI.x from the previous slide, under the control of the MUST correctness checker. It performs a binary instrumentation. Again, I can't go into details here. And it traces all the MPI calls, does some performance, a correctness analysis in the back, and then prints out the result of the analysis. And MUST detected a possible deadlock here. That means, depending on the behavior of the MPI implementation, the code, that was on the previous slide could deadlock. And MAS provides an output in the form of an HTML file, which is clickable within the Jupyter environment. It opens in a new window or a new browser tab, and also can provide a graphical explanation of deadlocks or other correctness issues that it had detected. And Jonas will now take over and provide you more details about how we did the implementation.
For the implementation of this interactive environment, we used existing open source software, in particular building upon Jupyter notebooks that you have already seen in the previous screenshots. In the background, there are two more projects to add support for the C++ language. The first one is Kling, which is an interactive C++ interpreter, developed originally for the Root Data Analysis Framework. It uses Clang to parse source code into an abstract syntax tree, and afterwards invokes LVM's just-in-time compilation to execute the code. The second project is XoisKling, which is a C++ kernel for the Jupyter notebooks. It sends code from notebook cells to Kling, which then parses the code and hands it over to just-in-time compilation for execution. Afterwards, the result is transferred back to the user, including potential output performed by the program. For enabling OpenMP, we use the existing OpenMP support in the Clang compiler, which can be enabled via the -f OpenMP flag. So we added this argument in the kernel.json file and additionally installed the LLVM OpenMP runtime next to Kling. Afterwards, you just need to load the OpenMP runtime in the notebook via a pragma and optionally include omp.h if you want to make use of the API library routines. With this setup, you can start using OpenMP code as is supported by the Clang compiler, and this screenshot showing a parallel reduction across all threads. During early experiments, we found that the printf support in XoisKling was not working correctly, which was unfortunate because there's a lot of muscle memory for many HPC developers that want to use printf instead of C++ streams. So the problem was that the output performed by printf was not redirected with XoisKling, so it would not show to the user in the browser. This was an ongoing, there was an open issue for this, and in a sense this meant that if you did something like printf, you would see nothing in the browser. Instead, redirection worked fine with the standard cout and cerror streams, which the reason for this is that you can easily replace the buffer of C++ streams, so this was already implemented in XoisKling. We proposed a solution for this, which was to inject custom rep implementations of printf and fprintf. So this rep implementation formatted the string according to the format string and then passed the formatted string out to the standard streams that were already redirected to the user. This solution, this pull request, was merged 76 minutes after I uploaded it, while the issue had been open for more than 2 years, so this proves that this was really the solution that the maintainers were looking for. And with this support, you can start using printf and see the output in your browser. In addition to OpenMP, we also wanted to support MPI programs. So MPI is for distributed parallelism, which requires starting multiple processes. The first naive approach to this was to use fork to start multiple processes and then hook them up into the MPI runtime, but this proved to be difficult for multiple reasons. The first one was that this requires substantial communication with the MPI library. So the MPI library has to discover all the processes and assign them a unique global ID and make them available to, for communication with each other. Additionally, we had no clear picture about how to support multiple MPI init and MPI finalize, which the user might run across if executing, if prototyping a program. And the reason for this is that multiple MPI init and MPI finalize are usually not supported with current MPI libraries. The third problem with respect to communication with the MPI library was how to keep processes alive across cells, because eventually the user wants to incrementally write code, and this would have required the processes to stay around while the user is working on its code. The second reason why this would have been difficult is the integration with Kling and Jupyter. So in a sense, Jupyter is known for allowing interactive code development and in particular incremental code development. So with the processes staying around, it would have been necessary to interpret new code in all processes that are currently available, which would have required much more bookkeeping code and much more synchronization between the processes. And the final limitation that we thought about was that forking limits MPI to one machine, so there's no really distributed environment that you can run in. So instead, we took a different approach that was to teach Xoist Kling to dump executables. So the edit code to Xoist Kling takes or allows to define a current cell as the main method of the to-be-dumped executable. Afterwards, it queries the current abstract syntax tree from Kling, which is built incrementally, and then uses the Kling code generator to generate LLVM intermediate code from that. Finally, it uses the LLVM backend to produce an object file and then links this object file to an executable. The implementation of all this took around 200 lines of code, interfacing with various APIs offered by Kling, Clang, and the LLVM backend. And with this, here's one example how to dump an MPI executable with this. You can start writing a main method within your Jupyter code. And because it queries the current RST from Kling, you can make use of any function that you defined in previous cells. So once we had executables, launching with MPI exec was just business as usual. So assuming the previously mentioned simple MPI program, you could just type MPI exec with the configuration of, in this example, four processes and start your MPI program. That would run according to the configuration of your MPI library. So this would support distributed execution. In addition to parallel programming, the project also aimed to make interactive correctness analysis available to the user, and for shared memory parallelism, we focus on the Thread Sanitizer. Thread Sanitizer is an instrumentation-based approach offered by Kling already. However, we figured that instrumentation would be hard in just-in-time compilation. The first problem is that the sanitizer output is usually recorded at process termination, which you usually don't have when executing code from a cell, so you don't terminate the interpreter after the cell is executed, because it might have defined a function that you might want to use afterwards. Additionally, you cannot instrument already generated code. So once a cell would have executed without instrumentation, it would be very, very hard to insert instrumentation into this already generated code. So essentially, this would have required that we instrumented all code upfront. And if the user doesn't want to use Thread Sanitizer, this would be wasted. However, with the already existing support for dumping executables, supporting this extension to Thread Sanitizer was very feasible, because we just parsed flags coming from the user. So we basically look if there is a -f sanitize equals thread option in there, and if there is, we enable the sanitizer before generating LLVM IR from the current AST. And with this, you can just start using Thread Sanitizer as you would expect it, and as you know it from the usual environment. So we have an executable, you dump that and specify f the initialized thread. Afterwards, you execute it, and in this case, thread initializer finds a race condition between the spawn thread and the increment of the variable a in the main thread. And it prints it out to the console, which is redirected to the redirected to the user. And I've not shown it here, but this also includes source code location, so in which line of the cell this problem was located. So the extension to OpenMP then was straightforward, because there's already an Archer library part of the LLVM OpenMP runtime. This library was developed in collaboration between RWTH Aachen University and US Department of Energy Labs. So basically, this library makes OpenMP semantics available to thread sanitizer. So to avoid false positives, thread sanitizer needs to know which synchronization is performed by the OpenMP runtime to avoid reporting false positives about race conditions that are in fact prohibited by the OpenMP semantics, for example, by synchronization imposed by the OpenMP semantics. And for this case, as an example, let's reconsider the previous code that performed a reduction across threads on a variable, which is, according to the OpenMP semantics, there is synchronization for this reduction. And with this Archer library, executing this code under thread sanitizer shows no race conditions, and the result is correctly 16 with 4 threads. The second interactive correctness analysis that we wanted to make available is MAST for MPI programs. So this is a runtime correctness analysis for MPI, for the MPI standard, which was developed by TU Dresden and RWTH Aachen University. What MAST basically intercepts all MPI library calls and then checks for common classes of errors. So for example, not providing a buffer also of the correct size and so on, or performing communication between processes without using the correct types. And the usage of MAST is very simple. So you replace MPI exec or MPI run by a wrapper script provided by MAST, which is called MASTRUN, and with support for the dumping for the dumped executables, this is as easy to integrate into this interactive environment as replacing MPI exec that we used before by MASTRUN. And afterwards, MAST starts up, does necessary setup, and executes the application. And while doing so, checks correctness. And after execution is finished, outputs everything into an HTML file, which can be conveniently inspected directly from the Jupyter server.
Thank you, Jonas. Now let me summarize. We presented our Jupyter-based environment that, based on modifications of Kling and other software components, enables interactive C and C++ programming with OpenMP and MPI support. In 2020, this was developed partly with funding from the ECAP project that we did together with the Fernuniversität in Hagen and Lena Oden, sponsored by the state of North Rhine-Westphalia. So we put this into production. There's a Kubernetes-based infrastructure named Jupyter at RWTH, which is only accessible for members from our university. It enables us to give live presentations in our lectures and also hand out exercises, that means tasks to do as homeworks, to the students that can still be done classically, but also can be done in our new environment. Thank you very much for your attention.
Okay, stream ended.
Yes.
alive.
More or less, yes.
All right, thank you, Christian and Jonas, for your very interesting talk. We have 5 minutes for questions, so I will go from top to bottom. The first question from Kenneth Hoste is, can you also run multi-node MPI programs through this interface?
Yes, so as Christian already wrote in the chat, so what we do is write out an executable and start this via MPI exec. So if you configure a node list as you would normally do for an MPI setup, you can run the MPI program on multiple nodes. That is possible, yes.
Second is, we teach, that's a question from myself, we teach OpenMP and MPI in both C and C++, but also in Fortran. And could Fortran be supported too, or would that be a major development effort?
Yeah, so, not sure who can answer. I said it in the chat already. So if we have a Fortran interpreter similar in capabilities to, for example, what Kling offers, then that should be possible. And I wouldn't call it a major development effort. However, I don't see that available at the moment, but there was a link in the chat. I didn't take a look at that at the moment. So we could at least hope for that. Anything to add, Jonas?
No, I mean, it's Kling is C++ only, and everything else would need something which we didn't develop for the project. So can't really comment on that.
Next question is hybrid OpenMP and MPI code also supported?
I'm not sure we actually tried this, but Christian tried. So it's possible. So basically everything that you can write out as an MPI executable is possible, and that includes OpenMP because the compilers that we use, so Clang supports OpenMP. And if you do an MPI executable with that, you can do hybrid MPI OpenMP programs.
The last question from Kenneth is a bit more higher level about teaching. Is there any significant difference in how much effort is needed for students to grasp multi-threading or multi-processing? What is harder to learn or to teach? He would expect MPI to be slightly easier since since the concepts are easier to understand than threading.
Yeah, so not sure if I can give a fair answer because I believe it depends on how you teach OpenMP or MPI respectively, and also maybe with what you start. But we have under the impression that the students are more productive in the OpenMP exercises than, for example, in the MPI exercises. Yeah, so we see that in courses, but to some extent also in the lectures that we offer at the university, that the OpenMP concept are easier to understand. Yeah, however, they do make more mistakes. So there's this kind of or class of students that tries OpenMP and makes failures, and there's the other class that tries OpenMP and does not make a failure. And I believe on the MPI side, this class of student that tries and makes a failure or is not successful is a little bit smaller. However, we don't have an effort comparison.